This is the National Broadcasting Company.
KFI, the station of Earl C. Anthony, Incorporated.
Four days have passed since the would-be elopement. But since Peggy has failed to sign a formal complaint, Chris is still star boarder in the local county jail. At the moment, he's playing cribbage through the bars of his cell with Jeff Barnes, his more than sympathetic jailer.
15-2, 15-4,
15-6. It beats me what a guy with your luck is doing in jail, Chris.
Politics, Jeff, my boy, politics.
Is that so?
Miss China, gee, Willigan.
Sheriff, I'd like to speak to your prisoner.
Sure, go right ahead. I'll be seeing about dinner, Chris.
Well.
Very well, thank you. How about you? Care to play a hand? Name your game. Penny ante, blackjack, pinochle, fan tan, Russian bank. I have it. Old maid.
Very amusing, Mr. Morgan. I wish you could see the charming picture you make through those bars.
That's the slug-faced Benedict in me.
Mr. Morgan, I've come today to give you a final offer. At least you can't say I'm not generous.
Can I?
If you will promise to forget this whole idea...
You mean marrying what's her name?
Her name is Susan. If you'll swear never even to see her again, I'll dismiss all charges against you.
Couldn't be interested.
Oh, you couldn't. Do you realize that if I press those charges, you'll probably go to jail for 10 years? Kidnapping is...
Kidnapping is exactly what I want you to charge me with. Remember, Miss Turner, we got a license from that justice. That's proof that you went there intending to marry me.
I did not.
Try to tell a court that. You go right ahead with your charges. They'll laugh the case out of court. Then I'll sue you for $500,000 for false arrest, restraint of liberty, and defamation of my character.
You haven't got any character.
No, I haven't much, have I? Isn't that unfortunate? Hey, come to think of it, I could sue now. Who's a good lawyer?
I can't believe you're as much of a heel as you're making yourself out to be.
You'll find out when I bring suit.
Oh, but you can't. I mean, you mustn't. Oh, please.
Well, suppose I got big-hearted and dropped the suit. How about my going ahead and marrying what's her name?
Her name is Susan.
Yeah, that's it. Susan.
Well, before you do, won't you at least come and talk to my father? He's a very reasonable man. Maybe between you can work something out. Oh, please, Chris. I mean Mr. Morgan.
Okay, but I'm getting a little fed up with all this bother. As far as I can see, no woman is worth it.
Sit down, Mr. Morgan.
Thanks, Mr. Turner.
I understand you want to marry my daughter.
That's right.
Huh? Which one?
Anyone you say. You know him better than I do. Which one would you recommend?
Very funny. Miss Peggy told me you were quite a character.
Oh, she did. She told me I didn't have any.
Now, let's quit this nonsense. You want to marry Susan?
Well, have it your way.
Huh? What are your prospects?
Excellent. I'm about to come into $3 million.
Really? A relative?
Yes, a wife.
Now, see here, young man.
Suppose you see here. This meeting wasn't my idea. Your daughter thought that talking to you might straighten this thing out.
Susan suggested it?
Who said anything about Susan? I'm talking about Peggy.
But you said you wanted to marry Susan.
Of all the guys for putting words in somebody's mouth, you said I wanted to marry Susan. Personally, I don't care which one it is. I just want somebody to make up his mind.
Now, wait a minute, Mr. Morgan. Are you admitting you want to marry into my family for money?
Well, can you think of a better reason?
Young man, I'd like to shake your hand. My daughters have had lots of men after their money, but you're the first one who ever admitted it. Such honesty deserves appreciation.
I'm glad you look at it that way.
But there are still appearances. Now, maybe I can find a place for you as a vice president in charge or something.
Oh, no. No, you don't. I've got to draw the line somewhere. Nobody's going to make me a vice president.
Some kind of a managership, then?
Oh, I'm sorry. It wouldn't work out.
You wouldn't take a job?
Nope.
Just my money.
That's all.
And my daughter.
I can't help that part of it. Well, how about it?
You seem in pretty much of a hurry.
Well, sure I am. The 18th is a deadline.
A deadline?
Yeah, for the kids.
The kids? Now, look here, young man. I thought at least you were single.
Oh, no, no. The kids at Morgan Memorial. You've heard of the Morgan Memorial Hospital, haven't you?
Why, of course.
My family has been endowing the place for generations. I've been traveling lately, and when I got back last month, I found the hospital all ready to fold up. Investment securities went bust. So I had to figure out some way to keep it going.
I see.
I tried every other angle I knew to raise the dough, even selling the Jezebel, my boat.
Why couldn't you get someone else to endow the hospital? I'd even help myself. $50,000 or so would...
You will not. Morgans have kept that hospital running for 92 years, and they're not stopping now.
Of course they're not. He's right, Dad.
Peggy, you've been listening.
Certainly I have, and I found out what I wanted to know. I'm sorry I backed out of the wedding, Mr. Morgan, but I'll make up for it now.
You will, huh? And this time you mean it?
This time I mean it.
Strictly a business proposition?
Strictly and absolutely.
When?
Would tomorrow do?
Why not?
Good. And if you stay for dinner, we can talk over the business arrangements.
I guess I can make it.
Well, maybe I'm old-fashioned, but all this is too much for me.
Poor Dad. He still thinks being in love should have something to do with marriage. Isn't that absurd?
Sure it is. Did I say it wasn't?
And you really should see this garden. It's the loveliest part of the whole place.
Yeah. Not bad.
Oh, do you mind the radio? I can go back in and turn it off.
No, it's okay.
I hope you enjoyed dinner. If not, we can get a new cook after the wedding.
The dinner was all right.
Well, that's good.
What's that song?
You and the Night and the Music.
I don't like it.
Don't you? I'm glad everything's all set. Dad turns over $200,000 to you on the day we're married, right?
Right.
And then?
Then?
I was wondering where we might go on our honeymoon.
Look, we won't talk about that now.
All right. Nice night. Do you like my hair this way, Chris? I remembered you said you liked Susan's better, so I tried doing mine just like hers. Oh, about Susan. I didn't tell you. She's going to marry Freddie after all.
Am I supposed to cheer?
Funny, when she found out you were a fortune hunter, she was almost angry with you. But then Susan's like Dad, a conservative. I just thought, maybe you still would prefer Susan. Would you, Chris?
No.
Chris.
I wouldn't prefer anyone. And I'll tell you where we're going on our honeymoon. There's an island in the Indies, south of Java. An island so small you'd never find it on a map. But I've been there. I promised myself that someday I'd go back. But not alone.
Chris. Oh, Chris, tell me about it.
Tell you? No one could do that. You'll have to see it yourself. See the waves breaking far out on a reef and rolling up to a beach that's whiter than snow. You'll have to steer a boat at night by the Southern Cross and smell the ginger blossoms on the trade winds. You'll have to...
Chris. Oh, Chris, darling.
Peggy. You're a fool to marry me.
Maybe I am, but I don't care. Oh, Chris.
Hey, what's the matter with us?
What's wrong?
Wrong? Everything's wrong. The whole business is messed up now.
But it's all set. The wedding, everything.
The wedding's off, and don't ask me why. I said it's off, and I'm leaving. Goodbye. Captain Orbach.
Oh, yeah. Hello, Chris. You come aboard the Jezebel at last, huh?
All right, Cap. Get her underway.
Yeah, Chris. I got your message, but it ain't true. You ain't sold the Jezebel.
We deliver to the new owners in Norfolk tomorrow. I'll be in my cabin.
Oh, Chris.
Yeah?
I'm mighty sorry you lose the Jezebel. No fooling.
Maybe you think I'm Jerry. Thanks, Cap. Let's get going.
Yeah, sure.
Cast off there, up anchor. Hurry it up, men. We're getting underway.
Hello, Chris.
Peggy.
What are you doing in here?
Waiting for one Christopher Morgan, a man who claims to be allergic to work. Funny, this doesn't say that at all.
What are you talking about?
This clipping from Who's Who. Listen. Morgan, Christopher Jr., oceanologist and explorer, owner of the motor ship Jezebel. Most complete floating marine laboratory under American registry. In the past few years, Mr. Morgan has devoted much of his personal fortune to exploring little-known sea lanes of the globe. Well, don't look at me. That's what it says, Chris.
You get back ashore.
Right. Hear that? We've started already. I guess I'm just Jezebel aboard the Jezebel.
Don't talk like a fool. We'll put up out and land you.
Why? Why can't I go along?
Oh, because women are bad luck on a ship.
Any worse than on shore?
Besides, I don't own the Jezebel anymore.
You sold your ship. Chris, who bought her?
Oh, how do I know? Somebody named Renrut.
For how much?
$200,000. Hey, what is this? What are you laughing at?
You.
Me?
Uh-huh. You're such a dope.
A dope? Me?
You look at everything backwards except the one thing you should see that way.
Backwards?
Renrut, Chris. Didn't you ever think of that in reverse?
Reverse? R-E-N-R-U-T. T-U-R... Turner. Wait a minute.
Don't be angry, Chris, please. When I found out you were selling the boat, well, I knew you needed the money for the hospital, and, well, maybe... Maybe I want to explore a few unknown sea lanes of the globe, too. Why did you run away the other night, Chris?
You know why. It messes everything up, just as I said it did.
What does?
Love, that's what. I'm in love with you. How could I marry a girl I'm in love with? It's against my principles.
Your ancestor didn't worry about things like that. Principles never bothered him in the least.
My ancestor?
Henry Morgan, the pirate. What he wanted, he took. Principles or no principles. But then, maybe today the Morgans aren't what they used to be.
Oh, they're not, huh? Come here, you.
Chris.
Come here.
Oh, Chris. Oh, darling, I was wrong. And even if she is better looking than I am, I'm so glad you didn't marry, what's her name?
What's her name? Her name is Susan.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Clark Gable will be back for a friendly word with you in just a moment. During that moment, we have a friendly invitation for you. All right, Dick.
It's an invitation to go to your silverware dealers tomorrow, Monday, ladies and gentlemen. Visit his silverware department and just see the many wonderful silver plate gifts he has, all bearing the proud name 1847 Rogers Brothers. There's a service for 8, 62 thrillingly beautiful pieces in a luster walnut cabinet that costs only $59.75. There's a 36-piece set for only $39.75. And there are smaller and larger services priced to fit almost any purse. Many of the sets are created in the glorious Adoration pattern, that newest and greatest triumph of the house of 1847 Rogers Brothers, which brings the miracle of sterling silver craftsmanship to finest silver plate. See them all. Learn from your silverware dealer what easy, convenient payment terms can be arranged and make your selection. Then, on that day of days, watch her face when she opens your package, when she sees the exquisite loveliness of that Adoration pattern, when she realizes that here is silver plate with the design prestige of America's first great craftsman, 1847 Rogers Brothers.
Now the star of our silver theater, Clark Gable. Well, Clark, as usual, you did a grand job, and thanks.
Thank you, Conrad.
Tell me, what's the latest on Gone with the Wind?
Well, it opens this Friday in Atlanta, Georgia, and I'm going to fly down to be there.
Well, I'll certainly be on hand when it opens in Hollywood. I hear the picture's packed with action and with romance, too.
Yes, it is. But there's bound to be plenty of romance in almost any story in the 50s and 60s.
Well, there's plenty of romance in the 40s, too, Clark. Don't forget, it was in 1847 the Rogers brothers started making 1847 Rogers Brothers Silver Plate. And the story of how they started is really a romantic one.
No doubt, Conrad. But it would be pretty tough for me to handle the part of a silversmith. I'm much more at home playing the Rhett Butler type, I hope.
Well, don't worry, Clark. Hollywood grapevine says that David Selznick has really produced a terrific picture and that your performance is tops.
Well, I hope the grapevine is right. Now, if you don't mind, I think I'd better be. So long, Conrad.
So long, Clark. And happy landing. Clark Gable appeared on Silver Theater through the courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, where he's currently engaged in the production of Strange Cargo. Well, now with that news about next Sunday's Silver Theater production, our star will be Kay Francis, who will be supported by a great cast. I'll be waiting to welcome you, and so, good friends, this is Conrad Nagel saying good evening. And thank you. See you next Sunday.
In the meantime, if you want solid silver, you want international sterling. If you want silver plate, you want 1847 Rogers Brothers, both proudly created by International Silver Company. Today's radio play, For Richer, For Richer, was written especially for Silver Theater by Drew Borden. Original music was scored and conducted by Felix Mills. Dick Joy speaking.
All names and designations of persons and of organizations used in the dramatic portions of this broadcast are entirely fictitious, and no actual organization or living person is thereby designated. Silver Theater originates at Columbia Square in Hollywood. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.